Blog Talk Radio.
Ready?
Sure.
Hey, 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 talking to Sid can get it. I'm muted.
Recording in progress.
Go.
This is your announcer, Chuck Landington, welcoming you to the Metal Injection Live Cast Patreon bonus. On this Hall of Fame.
Recording stopped. Recording in progress.
Go!
This is your announcer, Chuck Landington, welcoming you to the Metal Injection Live Cast. This edition is the final time we'll call this show the Metal Injection Live Cast. I don't know what the new name will be, but I'm hoping the guys gave strong consideration to my idea. The Piercing Lamb Goat Cast has such a nice ring to it. The Metal Injection Live Cast starts now.
We did not give any thought to your idea, Chuck, but thanks for the offer. Welcome to what I guess is the final Metal Injection Live Cast, but we're not done. We're not going anywhere. Rob, here with Sid and Darren. And we welcome you. And yes, we are changing the name. We did make the announcement not too long ago that we would be changing the name, just to reiterate, you know, ever since Noah left. We've been discussing, you know, what the show is about, what we want to do with the show in the future. And we kind of figured that calling it the Metal Injection Livecast doesn't quite represent what we do with the show as much anymore. We kind of don't talk that much about metal as we did when we first started, although we still plan on talking about metal stories, especially ridiculous ones with some of our favorite musicians to learn about. But we want to also broaden the scope of what we talk about. And so we've come up with a new name. We've all discussed it. And we wanted something that would kind of pay homage to the past of the show while also just being something new. And so, Sid, do you want to reveal the new title of the podcast, which we'll be going with from this point on?
Why are you putting me on the spot? Jeez.
It's called RIP A Livecast.
Yeah.
That's going to be our new show name, RIP A Livecast. Hashtag RIP A Livecast. But
is the hashtag going to be in the title?
The hashtag isn't going to be in the title, or maybe it will be.
Hashtag RIP A
Livecast.
Yeah.
So that's going to be the show name. It's temper permanent. We're going to go with it for now. We might change it again, but we're going to stick with it for a good while.
Do we have any ideas of what the RIP stands for? Because we're not resting in peace. Is it like record in power?
I like it.
Well, it's the name Livecast is RIP. It's not the show itself. It's like, you know, we're sort of not doing what Rob just said. We're sort of morphing into something else. So that phase is over. Hmm. That's where I see the RIP coming in. Right.
But like I sort of had an idea that like every week we'd come up with a different thing that RIP stands for.
Sure.
Well, that could be your fun little task.
All right. Sometimes I might have to go into other languages if I run out of RIP things in English.
Oh yeah, what other languages?
Oh my God.
Spanish, Russian.
I think Sid's
French.
First one should be about himself and be called Reflux in Perpetuity.
episode title?
Sure. But then you can't use it next week.
Well, that's fine.
We were considering renaming the show to episode title, since it's the phrase we mentioned the most on the show, but we decided against calling it to episode title. But
did we actually consider that? I might have given that an upvote.
First time I heard it.
Yeah. No, I'm making a joke.
Oh, I like
this. This is a comedy podcast, fellas. We make jokes. Get with it. This is a new format. It's going to be funny now.
Oh, okay. Man.
Now we got to be funny.
Set the bar high, man.
Do you want to call in and let us know what you think of the name or just an opinion on whatever's going on in the world, metal or not? Give us a call. 213-WIDENUT. That's 213-943-3688. And I also want to mention, if you want to hang out with us during the show, after the show, during the week, hit up our Discord. There's a link on every episode page to get the invite to the Discord. You can hang out with me, Sid, Darren, and all of our fellow live cast stars, and just hang out. And we love hanging out in there, always dropping links in the middle of the week and memes and fun stories. We have a bunch of different chat rooms, and we'd love to hang out with you and learn a bit more about you. You learn a bit more about us. That works.
Yeah. It's a good time. I'm basically always in there if I'm awake. You can come and fuck with me.
And Sid has his notifications on, too, so he's going to be on top.
No, I don't have notifications.
No? You don't get push notifications on it?
I don't need to. I always have it open. It's on my laptop. I'm not on my phone with it. I have it on my laptop. It's just another tab.
What if you're out of the house?
All right, fine. If I'm out of the house, but how often is that? Let's be realistic here. How often am I out of the fucking house? That's like almost never.
And your face is buried in the phone the whole time when you're out of the house.
Yeah, exactly. Trying to be antisocial and hide from confrontation.
Remain in place. That's another one about
this. I like that. But so far, every RIP is just reflective of my lifestyle.
Yeah. Well, I'm focusing on your, you took on the mantle of RIP, so.
You're going to fucking use them all up before I have a chance.
Sorry.
God damn it, just making this harder on me.
Really inactive prick.
I quit. I give up. That idea has been abandoned already, Darren.
All right. Well, no, but when you do them, they're not going to be about you. They're going to be specific.
Darren, I don't know if you've heard this about me, but everything is about me.
Oh.
Shit.
Well, I'm sure you should have a good, easy time of it. You're very narcissistic.
Yeah.
A lot of R words.
Whew.
All right. Well, now that we've gotten that out of the way, let's take in some art. A few weeks ago, I talked about how one of the great lyricists of our time, Ivan Moody from Five Finger Death Punch.
He's your Huckleberry.
He's my Huckleberry?
Yeah.
All right.
Remember that clip when he was talking about the ex-band member's new band and he said he'll be his Huckleberry?
Oh, okay.
I did have some of that here. That you want to hear some of that?
Let's hear it.
And then he starts like howling.
Sex appeal has left Five Finger Death.
Let me play that again.
The sex appeal has left Five Finger Death Punch.
It was that, and then there was him woofing. Remember?
Woof.
That's Ivan Moody, by the way. Just so you know.
So what's up, Rob?
So he is releasing an album, I mean not an album, a book of poetry called Dirty Poetry.
I remember we discussed this briefly.
Right. Yes. We discussed Dirty Poetry from the Contagiously Contorted and
Quixotic?
Quixotically? Twisted
chaotically.
Mind.
It's chaotically.
Chaotically. Twisted Mind of Ivan L. Moody. What's chaotically?
Is it like
if he's like Don Quixote?
It's in the ethos of Don Quixote, like, you know, dreaming above your means of what you have to actually make happen in real life.
Oh, like he did, hoping he could write a good poetry book, but then. No.
Yeah, exactly. It's a negative word. You don't call someone chaotic positively. It's not a good thing to name yourself. It's when you say someone is nuts, like they're delusionally optimistic.
Wow.
Well, so let me read the description of the book once more. By the way, it's available now if you want to grab your copy. This is a free promo for Mr. Moody.
Don't do that.
Ever wondered what really lies beyond where the sidewalk ends? I'm guessing that's a Five Finger Death Punch reference.
It's a
sewer. Don't know?
The sewer. Yeah. Very appropriate.
From the wonderfully twisted mind of the frontman of Five Finger Death Punch.
Twisted, yes. Wonderful, maybe not so much.
Yeah. Ivan Moody's Dirty Poetry is a book of original poems punctuated with a dark art that's guaranteed to inspire upside-down dreamscapes in the mind of its readers. Written by Ivan Moody himself, with beautifully haunting ink and watercolor illustrations by Blake Armstrong.
Don't drag Blake into this.
Yeah.
He just did a job.
All right. I'm going to screen share because I feel like a part of the experience is to see the layout, you know.
We have to.
Are there pics of Ivan, like, in a smoking jacket? A monocle? And a quill and a little ink cup?
It actually does kind of look like he used a quill and an ink cup.
I remember seeing one of these, and it's like sort of like graphic text.
Yeah.
In elegant calligraphy, perhaps?
Calligraphy, but not elegant. It's more like scratches.
It's more like a finger painting.
Well, it's watercolor, right? That's what he said. Hold on. I'm having
a child using watercolors.
Problem with the brows.
But yeah, it's like his deep toilet thoughts, you know, whatever he, while he's taking a shit in the morning, when he just jots something down on his phone and then became a book.
It should be. Imagine if every page was just like a screen grab of the Notes app. Just like he wrote each poem on the Notes app, and that's just the whole book.
Like he sent in his Notes app file, and they were like, oh, this is brilliant. And he's like, no, I just wanted you to transcribe it from that. And they're like, he didn't have the heart to tell them, so they just left it as the Notes app.
It's the language of our times. I think people can relate to it.
All right, here we go. Everything?
Oh, my God, he really is.
There you go.
In a smoking jacket.
Of course.
Skull chalice.
Oh, that's so funny. I thought this was like a milkshake for a second. Like, like, I was like, oh, is this like a fudge milkshake? And like, oh, no, it's a skull.
Man.
It does
look like a milkshake.
I mean, that might be what's in there.
True.
Given the people's eyebrow, way too many tattoos on his face. This is why we shouldn't have rich people.
Have you ever considered maybe you have not enough tattoos on your face?
Yeah. No, I haven't. Okay. So
oh, damn it.
So here we go. Here's the... A wise man once told me...
The world is going to roll me? And that's the sharpest tool in the shed? Is he just writing?
That's a different poem.
Damn it.
A wise man once told me, the things that I do for myself are gone when I'm gone. What? And it looks like a Master of Puppets watercolor.
It does. Are we going to try to interpret these or just move on?
Yeah.
I think if I can be the Moody Whisperer, he's saying don't only do things for yourself. Like, you create a legacy that stays after you die when you help others. Right,
I mean, that's probably, I took it more in like a don't masturbate so much. But again, once again, these might just all be about me.
Well, he could simultaneously be saying both. You know, do things for others. Don't just masturbate yourself.
Yeah, masturbate on other people.
Oh, I was going to say jerk someone else off.
But wait, I thought the sexiness left Five Finger Death Punch. Sounds like it's approaching, if you ask me.
The sex appeal has left Five Finger Death Punch?
Don't need a question mark at the end of that.
Just wait till I ejaculate on the snare drum.
That's when it leaves Five Finger Death Punch and lands on the snare drum.
It's more literal. He meant it very literally. Okay, I get it.
This font, I can't get over. This is like how I wrote, like doodled in my my Trapper Keeper when I was 12, and like this was the font I used in my longhand.
It gives me like The Shining.
Yeah, that too. Like,
Red scrawled Robin on the wall. Go ahead, Robert.
All right. Well, this next one, Lady Agony, Mrs. Catastrophe. Mm.
Spelled wrong, by the way. Catastrophe.
Cat ass trophy.
Unless, does he mean that it's a trophy of sorts?
Cat ass trophy. He won a trophy for his cat won a won some kind of breeding competition.
Best
he,
cat ass.
They
cat
gave
as,
him
a cat ass trophy.
No, it's a cat as a trophy. Cat as trophy.
It's a trophy shaped like a cat. Cat as trophy.
Mrs. Cat as trophy. Mm-hmm. Oh, Lady Vanity, you're such a canvas. That looks weird penmanship. A Picasso in your mind. This sounds like a 90s grunge song. If it pleases your majesty, the queen of amnesty, no one here can judge you. Sit so high. Oh, wait, no one here can judge you. What? That's so weird. No one here can judge. And like, it looks like you ran out of room.
Yeah.
Put the U on the, but there's plenty of room. You're the one doing this.
That's like when John Mulaney had that bit when he says, you know, when you're doing a birthday poster and you start with a big ass B and then you get to the end of the line and you're squeezing letters in.
Yeah.
And then you never learn your lesson. You go to the next line and you say, big ass H. That's what he did here.
No one here can judge you. You sit so high above us.
Sit so high, high above it.
Okay.
Oh.
Right? That's what this is.
No.
Okay, no. You sit so high above us, never looking down, broken crown. Is this about our next girlfriend?
I think this is about Hillary. This is his, I have poetry leading to the arrest of Hillary Clinton.
I was gonna write some poetry, but then I got high.
And then I proceeded to write the poetry.
He should have got high and put this off. I think we can all agree.
Yeah.
Should have procrastinated.
So, So what is he saying here? He's saying this woman thinks she's way hotter than she is. A Picasso in your mind.
It's about uppity women.
Yeah. The lady at the bar that didn't care that he was in a band.
Well, we should also say for the audience that's not watching on the video streaming that there's a drawing of a woman with wearing a crown and looking in a handheld mirror, but she's got like a hideous face with a Joker sort of smile or Cheshire Cat grin. So she's like apparently really like, you know, beautiful in a surface sense, but she's ugly on the inside. And
this is the poetry version of the guy on the bus who hits on the woman and she won't respond to him, and he's like, fuck you ain't that hot anyway.
Yeah, that's
exactly what this is.
He wrote this right after he hit on someone in the White Castle parking lot. Don't you know who I am? Five Finger Death Punch.
No, you're one of eight guys here with tattoos on their face. No, thank you, sir.
And he woofed at her. The sex appeal has left the White Castle parking lot.
Sex appeal has left Five Finger Death Punch.
Oh my god!
And then he named her Mrs. Cat as Trophy.
Okay, here's another poem. Another crown. A crown is falling. And then under the crown, there's people running.
Mm-hmm.
Looks like a pretty nice illustration of the one so far.
Yes, I agree. Everything he did not contribute to this project is pretty
good. That's right.
I wonder if this is his penmanship, too. You know, like he wrote it and they scanned it in.
I can buy that because this, like I said earlier, this is almost to a T what my angsty 12 to 14 year old was written. So he is that in an adult.
It has to be written because it's definitely not a font, because if you look at some of the letters that repeat, they're drawn in different ways, which tells me this was hand drawn. as opposed to repeat it as a font.
And I definitely would have liked Five Finger Death Punch if they existed when I was like 14, I think.
Oh.
Yeah. Well, that's who they're for.
Right.
Karen when he was 14.
Everybody when they were 14.
No. Yeah, exactly.
Anyone.
They're entry level.
Like anyone who's like aggressively masculine, like, you know, in a dumb way, which I was when I was 14. That's not every 14-year-old, but that's quite a lot of them.
So what was that dumb masculine band for you when you were 14?
Oh, my God. I don't know. Like, maybe like Slayer? I don't know. But I like Slayer has good qualities. I don't compare them to Five Finger. I think I had good taste in music, even though I like mostly aggro music. But,
I'm trying to think who was like the dumb band like that when I was 14.
Maybe it was Limp Bizkit. Easy. Oh, not 14, though. I was a little older.
Yeah, I was a little too old to be into Limp Bizkit, although, you know, they weren't around when I was 14. They were around when I was 25, I guess.
Who was dumb and aggro in 1993? There had to have been. Metallica.
I just feel like that was when there was a revolution of, like, a counterculture to that stuff. Like, bands and, who, you know, Kurt Cobain.
Yeah, and that's what I was into. But there must have been, like, some kind of alternative to the alternative even then, but I can't think of what it was.
I think the glam bands were that when I was a kid too, like just
Poison.
Like talking about banging women and stuff, like that was their whole persona.
Wait, we didn't read that
poem.
Well we just went off on a tangent, so I figured we should, no problem,
getting a little introspective. The poetry's making us introspective.
Yeah, that's what good art does.
Yeah. And also this.
I can already see this one's awful.
Exclude me from your clicks.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
In your snap.
Your self-indulgent ways.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
You taught me to be ruthless. So why are you running away?
So first, can I just point out that he rhymed ways with away?
Ugh.
So that's not a good start.
He'll just say he wasn't trying to rhyme anyway.
Yeah.
But then you got to avoid rhyming when you do that. That's a choice you can do, but then you can't do a near rhyme and use the same word at the end of two lines like that.
My guess for the meaning of this one, I think this one is aimed at Metal Injection and Metal Sucks. And that click. You guys used to love Five Finger Death Punch in the early days, man, and then you turned your back. You turned your back, Rob.
It's the opposite. I probably like them more now than in the early days.
Really? Last week you stand up for Kid Rock, and now you're standing up for Five Finger Death Punch? What's happened to you, Robert?
I've stood up for them before on the show. I think they have a place in the world.
It's his Nickelback argument, his arc that he had with Nickelback.
Yeah. No. Nickelback
buy me a drink one time.
No, I think Nickelback actually writes good songs.
That's
Five Finger Death Punch. I'm not embarrassed by that.
Yeah, Rob would stand by that in a drop.
Yeah. Whereas Five Finger Death Punch, they have catchy songs, but
I don't know. I would say Nickelback falls in the same category in a different style than Five Finger Death Punch, but they write catchy songs too. I don't think they're writing very good or deep songs, but they're catchy.
No.
I can't dispute they're catchy.
Good songwriter.
I got to also add one thing here that I just noticed, which is there may be some truth to the Metal Injection thing, because he's using the word clique, C-L-I-Q-U-E, but maybe he's talking about clicks.
Oh,
you're going after clicks and clickbait.
Oh,
excuse me. Exclude me from your clicks.
He doesn't want that free publicity.
Mm-hmm.
Robert.
I don't understand. So if I taught him to be ruthless, why am I running away?
Because you've turned your back on covering his band in a positive way.
Right. No, it's the opposite. I now cover them more positively than in the past. All my coverage of them would be mocking. And then I realized that the only people reading that coverage were Five Finger Death Punch fans. So I was like mocking my readers' favorite bands to their faces. And I'm like, oh, well, that's not helping anybody.
Did
so
you
just,
stop that I, because it was a monetary thing, or did you stop because it was mean-spirited?
Not so. I mean, there's certainly a monetary aspect to it, but I think it's more mean-spirited. Like, it was just like, oh, like, I'm only doing this for myself. And it's like, I feel like I write on the site as a service to our readers, not necessarily to entertain myself.
Rob, do you realize you just described the previous poem, the one about not doing anything for yourself?
Mm. Oh, my God, you're right.
They're all about you.
What if this is like a Shyamalan movie? We get to the end of this book and Rob realizes that he wrote it. He doesn't even remember doing it.
He's been Ivan Moody all along.
Oh, no. Is this me? Is this me in the window?
Oh, no.
So there's this
new, on the right side, it looks more like me.
So in this illustration, we see a window and the kind of, there's like partitions in the window. And it splits the image on the opposite side of the window in half. On the left side, we see half of a person. And on the right side, we see that same person, but only their skeleton.
Mm-hmm.
With
duality of man.
With what looks to be maybe blood in the foreground and background.
Definitely missing some ribs.
Yeah. So is this Marilyn
Manson? Up on the ribs.
Or maybe it's about Rob. Rob came and took the ribs away.
Oh, no. God damn. You can't – you're picking their bones.
I love
now
ribs.
For your own
I love ribs.
Lunch. Does the
All right.
half person with remaining flesh have a hickey?
So, okay. So,
Hotel thoughts.
If I died today, I'd be the same. Nothing has ever changed. The song remains the same. Insane, 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 insane.
And the membrane.
Now, could you imagine writing this and then somebody being like, hey, you should put this out as a book.
Yeah.
And then being like,
charge
being
people
like,
for this.
Yeah, I should. You know?
Well, someone's buying it.
I mean, look, I understand.
If he died today, so he's saying he's already dead? He's been dead all along?
Yeah.
Oh, right.
Maybe it's like that he's just depressed.
Yeah.
Or he's going insane.
And all his songs sound the same. He's just tired of the repetition of this life in the hotel every night. With women turning
good.
You down at the bar. And then you can't even masturbate anymore because a wise man told you not to. Like, what's the point of living?
Half poor your guy. Body's a fucking skeleton. No, you know, you got no fiber. You know what I'm saying? Fiber, it don't happen to you.
That was it.
Oh, deep. That's it? I thought we had the whole book.
Oh my God!
I mean, hey, I can make that happen.
Yeah, call your friends, Rob. Get a promo copy for us to.
No, I'll promotion. Pay for it. I think we should pay for it.
How much?
Really?
Let's see how much it costs.
What's your argument that we should pay for it? I'm just curious.
Oh wow! A lot of the editions are sold out. There's only the standard edition remains.
Is this like the right wing political book network where like some right wing think tank buys up all the Ben Shapiro books and then it looks like they're selling a lot, and they don't care that they took a loss on it?
It's possible.
They just want to. They want a cult win the culture.
I don't.
War
no, I don't think
profit.
So. Because I feel like. Five Finger Death Punch is a very large audience. So,
but are they book readers?
They're collectors.
Poetry
though.
Readers?
I mean, it's just a collectible.
I mean, if you want to bundle this with a new album or something, maybe. But on its own? Do you get like a download code to like a hidden track or something with this?
I mean, like, and who's in their audience that likes poetry? It's just like retired cops and stuff. You know what I mean? Little kids, little aggro male kids and like 47-year-old cops.
47-year-old cops and their sons.
Yeah. And if you wrote the – unless you write the poetry like the individual perpetrated was located in the area at 4 p.m. or whatever, you know, I don't think there's any, like, value to, like, your dumb meandering that is going to reach your audience.
I will make the prediction that at least one UFC fighter will have one of these pages tattooed on their back by the end of the next 12 months. And that's really what he's doing it for.
Yeah, maybe we order this as a little live cast expense and have a little reading corner every week.
Oh, my God.
How many?
Let us know how you feel about it. Let me see how many pages it is. We want to know what your thoughts. Let us know in the Discord if we should keep reading it. It does not. Does not say how many pages there are. But it looks pretty thick. And that's what she said.
But I mean, it's like one of those, like the cover probably is like, the cover and the back cover are probably like 75% of the thickness of the book.
No, like, look, there's a lot of pages here.
Oh, wow. Oh, there is a bundle. You get a shirt. What else you got?
Yeah,
in this?
But all the bundles are sold out. The shirt, you get a bookmark, two bookmarks.
But, standard edition is available.
Yeah, the standard edition. That's what we would get. We just want the poetry.
Who's the publisher?
Z2 Comics.
So this counts as like a graphic novel?
Yeah. What else does Z2 Comics put out? I'm just curious.
Z2, they've been doing a lot of comics for artists. So they did a comic series about Anthrax.
For music artists.
I remember that.
Oh, yes, for music artists. Yes. So they did a Screaming for Vengeance artwork book, which was Priest.
There's that Squirrel Girl Lita Ford crossover. I don't know.
What's in the Anthrax comic book? Are they like superheroes and shit, or like what?
They
happened?
Basically created a whole comic universe based on their songs.
Oh, so like the events of the songs happen in the comic book?
Right. Yeah. There's like an Among the Living graphic novel.
So Anthrax, the band, are not characters in this universe then.
I don't believe so, no.
But isn't Among the Living just based on a Stephen King book? So what do they do, just adapt the Stephen King book into a novel and then say and give the money to Anthrax?
They created some story. I'm not – I mean, I didn't read it, but
– So it's the Stand. It's just the Stand.
Each song on the album is given an original story by an amazing creative team along with extra content and the introduction of the new zombie, Not Man. Designed by horror legend Greg Nicotero of The Walking Dead.
It's not that original because someone wrote it already and then they wrote a song about it. So I don't know that it's original.
Well, I guess they're writing... Yeah, I don't know.
They're writing a graphic novel based on a song, based on a book.
Yeah.
This is like when you copy somebody else's homework and you try to just put it in your own words.
And aren't like, you know, basically... Cheating. All of Anthrax's songs, like there's another song on that album that's based on Judge Dredd, the comic book.
Mm-hmm.
So like, did they write an original fucking graphic novel for that, which was already a graphic novel?
Yes.
Oh, good. That's good. An original graphic novel about Judge Dredd. That's, I'm glad someone thought of that.
I'm sure it sold a lot of copies, so they were happy.
What's
I'm working on a graphic novel myself. It's called Green Lantern. I don't know if anyone ever heard of it. Hopefully. I think it's an original
idea.
Is
this a new character you're developing?
Yes. It's just a
character based on your album about the Marvel character.
Yes. Well, I'm working on the albums. I have to have the album. When the album's done, then I'll release the graphic novel so that it won't be just me ripping off Green Lantern. So there'll be when you have the album in between, then it's okay. You're allowed to do that. Just the trouble of like getting the songs all recorded. It's like a little bit of a pain in the ass.
Scott Ian won't return your calls. Slack.
Yeah.
Now he won't. His comic work.
Do you think Scott Ian has read the comic?
Yeah, definitely.
He's you mean the Among the Living comic?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Not a chance. He just said, fuck it, I'll just read The Stand again. The same
like,
thing.
What's the guarantee for this? All right. Fine. My car needs servicing. Let's go. This will pay for that. I don't want Yankee season tickets. The Great Bronx, New York.
He read that novel as much as Gene Simmons read any of the Kiss products. Or,
oh, my God.
Or used any of the Kiss products that he puts out.
You don't think Gene Simmons uses Kiss shampoo?
Not a chance.
They have Kiss shampoo?
I love my hair too much to use any of the products that I sell to these rooms.
I love my wigs too much to infect them with any shampoo.
Kiss shampoo is only for Goyish hair. I use it in my very luxurious Jewish hair. I'm Gene Simmons of Kiss.
Oh, my God.
My favorite piece of Kiss merchandise, just to quickly.
Among the Living graphic novel?
Yeah. They just sell it on their site.
No,
we recorded a song about the Anthrax graphic novel. Then that's the intermediary step we needed to do our own Among the Living graphic novel.
No, it's this.
Kiss, I remember this. We talked about this.
Yeah, Kiss air guitar strings. It's just a blank package.
It's like empty cellophane, right? There's nothing.
Yeah, with a cardboard heading.
So it's a gag gift you give this.
Yeah. I guess it's better than the Kiss Snuggie. I think it was like 12, 15 bucks or something like that, which is a little much for a gag. The Kiss condom, mm-hmm. which is like, can you imagine? I mean, I guess if you're, when do you see the condom?
Yeah. And also like Gene Simmons' long ass tongue is on the condom. Is he like sucking your dick when you wear it, basically?
No, I think the implication
is stimulating the clitoris while you're penetrating.
Yeah, he's doing a little cunnilingus. On your girlfriend.
I like
doing a
that
both.
The condoms is spelled with a K, therefore when they don't work, you can't legally sue them because they're like, no, this is all a different thing.
Yeah, we never
condoms
said it was
a K.
Condom.
Yeah.
It's like cheese when you go to Rollin' Roaster. Just
spell it with a Z.
Kiss cologne, oh my God, can you imagine?
Yes, everyone should smell like me.
Kiss deodorant.
Kiss him. It's just a sentence.
Oh, air freshener. Okay.
Kiss cookie jar.
Gene Simmons.
Somehow looks extra like Hasidic.
That's by design. I don't want to eat anything that came out of Gene Simmons' head.
It's only macaroons that you could put in there. Otherwise it spits it out.
Wow, this design of these this Kiss checkerboard is brutal. First of all, you can barely see the checkerboard. Because it's so dark. And then the actual checkers look virtually the same. The only one, like, they have the same tops on them, which is a Kiss logo.
I thought you were the top.
I guess the sides are how you tell the difference.
Yeah, one's black and one's white, Rob. Come on.
But there's also their four giant faces all over. You can't see the squares.
Yeah, you can't see the board.
And I guess you're not allowed to play those squares. Their faces have to be prominently displayed at all times.
The king, when you receive a king, it's called a gene. We don't have kings in this game. Only genes.
Hashem.
Gene me.
There's a page a day tongue calendar, so every day you rip off Gene Simmons' tongue.
Can you imagine the four of them sitting around somewhere like, what have we not made into a Kiss product yet? I got
no,
it.
No, this is how. No, I don't imagine it that way. I imagine it's Gene and Paul sitting in a boardroom and just an endless supply of licensees are like, all right, we got it, guys. A Gene Simmons calendar. And every day you just rip off your tongue, Gene. What do you think?
How much does it pay?
It's like the worst episode of Shark Tank.
I mean,
it's Shark Tank.
Yes.
It's Shark Tank if they never said no to
it. Yeah, exactly. It's Shark Tank after the teeth all fell out.
Then the demon nutcracker. Oh, this is kind of cute, actually.
That was your nickname in high school, Rob. No? All right.
Cracked off a lot of nuts. What the demon part?
A neighborhood watch sign? Who? Oh, come on. These ski masks are so creepy. It's basically the Kiss makeup with the eyes cut out. Mm. This one is a Peter Criss one. Kiss earplugs. Oh, man. Kiss and Scooby-Doo mystery. Kiss toilet seat. Okay.
Hey, yeah, remember
Scooby-Doo
we were
is definitely not all elite.
Remember we were talking about the Kiss, the WWE Scooby-Doo.
Mm-hmm.
And that just shows they've been doing churning out Scooby-Doos for like a decade with different guests.
Embarrassing.
All elite Scooby-Doo.
This is a different Scooby-Doo.
Certainly not elite Scooby-Doo.
No. It's a gutter snipe Scooby-Doo.
That was a good show.
Shame
on point.
Him.
All right, well, let's Kiss. You know, I feel like Metallica is sort of entering Kiss territory, or they kind of are with their merch. Mm-hmm. Shelly. I do a quick perusal of Metallica merch to see. Which again, it's like, hey, I get it. Make some, if people buy it, why not? Why not?
Doing a novelization of the Metallica song, The Thing That Should Not Be, which is about H.P. Lovecraft novels.
So, yeah, here's an example. There's a Metallica clue game. Dave Mustaine grabbed his dog in the basement after being kicked by James Hetfield. Like, how do you even play it?
$50.
Sure.
I guess that's what a board game costs.
So the potential murderers are all Metallica members?
Picture this. The band and crew are back at HQ to record Metallica's next album, but with all the excitement, a key piece of equipment has gone missing. As the hours tick by, the group grows more and more eager to begin. They decide to split up and scour the building for any trace of their missing equipment. Find out what piece has gone missing, where it's hiding, and who finds it, so the recording session can get back on track.
That
what if you don't want them to record? You just keep hiding this.
The player
longer than Monopoly. So it'll just keep sabotaging the game. Never find their equipment again.
That's
so nobody even dies in Clue. What kind of fucking shit
just
is Clue?
Clifford.
Game is that?
It's always Cliff.
You got to go back to one of those. Go back to the Clue game just for 1 second, please. Because I want you to read who the like Professor
the
Plum
player.
Yeah.
The players are Papa Hatch, Duder.
No, El Duderino's in the game. Good for him.
Mr. Ripper, Dr. Groove,
what?
The engineer. And Colonel William.
So Papa Hetz, I guess, has to be James Hetfield.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Who are the other guys? So this was just him? And
not the... No, look, because they're all here in the, all illustrated. So Dr. Groove, I'm guessing, is Robert Trujillo.
Oh, okay. Why?
Stop saying it like that.
The correct
He doesn't even say it like that.
He's Robert Trujillo.
He's born in the U.S. He doesn't have any accent.
Mr. Ripper? Oh, okay. I guess Mr. Ripper could be Trujillo.
I thought Dr. Groove because he's the drummer. It would be Dr. Groove, but it could be the bassist too.
Duder, I'm guessing, is Kirk Hammett. I don't get it. Engineer is probably
their stupid engineer that nobody.
Yeah, and the Colonel William is like a reference to Clue.
Oh, maybe the engineer is Bob Rock.
Yeah. Well, do they still work with him?
No,
I don't know, but
they don't.
No.
So here, let's see some stocking stuff they have. They have Metallica Christmas light ornaments.
Of course.
Metallica logo keychain. Okay.
Cup, that's not bad.
Decal. Yeah, these are all right. These are all right. There's been some. I guess the difference is it's like the Metallica merch. First of all of it looks cool.
Mm-hmm.
And all of it kind of makes sense.
Yeah, this is almost all of this stuff is stuff you would see like in a head shop in like 1989 that sold like t-shirts and stuff like that.
Yeah. Let's see the accessories department. I think
can you sort by price? Because usually the crazy shit is the most expensive shit.
Yes, we can.
It's the Clue game. Oh, no.
The icon statue set.
Oh, my God.
It's almost $500, which makes sense because these statues cost like 100 something per. So if you get four of them.
What's the size on these bad boys? They're on clearance, by the way. Ooh.
8.5 inches.
Ooh, Robert.
What? Look, it was originally 600, so it's on set.
This is accurate because all the statues are playing their instruments except Lars Ulrich, who's just like growling and staring at people.
That statue of Lars is fully ready to go up somebody's ass. He's like, I know why you guys are buying this. Let's go. Bring it on.
The other three are still holding on to their delusion.
Yeah.
They're going to sit in some kind of mantelpiece or something or a trophy case.
They're like, no, we're going to hold our guitar sideways to make it even more difficult. Lars is like, no, I'm ready for it. I'm here for it. Let's go.
Or he's resigned to his fate. He just knows he's going up an asshole. And he's like, let's just do this, guys. Come on. No
and then the drum kit is like the stopper, so he doesn't go all the way in, so you can still pull him out.
So you don't lose Lars in your
yeah, you don't want to end up in the emergency room with Lars Ulrich up your ass. So.
How do you explain that? The doctor is just like, Okay, I've seen things up asses before, but Lars Ulrich, really?
It's our fifth one this week.
Yeah, I'm not
ever since they put these statues on clearance.
Things up your ass that I'm judging. It's just your taste in music.
Can't we get a Neil Peart up your ass once? Come on, guys.
That's Dave LaMotto.
I guess the rest is just expensive jewelry and watches. That, like, these are Nixon watches are expensive.
But what's Metallica about these watches? They just look like black watches.
It's a Metallica brand watch. Like, you could see the second is the M.
Oh,
like,
that, come on. $200 for that shit.
And it's the black album.
Yeah. I guess. Oh, you can get the individual statues. How much just for the Lars?
$111.75.
That's not bad.
Butt plug is cheaper than that.
It's true.
It doesn't come with a drumstick, though. What is it?
Double dip.
Okay, there's not really that much expensive stuff. Once you get past the statues, it's just posters and backpack. These backpacks actually look pretty cool.
But for
$76?
This store is, much as we like to shit on Metallica, I have to say, this store that we're looking at is perfectly reasonable.
Yeah.
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 I take it back. Definitely. This is fine. Let's see if there's any other stuff in the sidebar. Well, I guess collections. Let's see. Oh, okay. I see. These are just... All right. Touché, Metallica.
Put you in your place.
All right. 213 Wide Nut, that's the number. 213-43.
A couple of good comments in the Discord.
Hold on, let me get through the number.
No, I'm sorry. Go.
213-943-3688. That's the number. Give us a call, sir. Go ahead.
Scooby-Doo 182 in the Discord. First, he said, my mom got me the Kiss cologne when I was like 11, and it was so bad. Which, trying to think what era he was 11 in that getting Kiss cologne was the good gift for an 11-year-old. I have to hope that Scooby-Doo 182 was older than all of us.
I feel so the Kiss cologne probably came out in the 90s.
Oh, God.
I could see, you know, I'm just trying to think of a scenario where this is plausible, but maybe you reach 11 and that's where you start thinking about cologne and stuff like that. And the parent just bought what they liked. Like the band they liked.
Okay, that makes
sense.
Hoisted
this Kiss cologne on this poor child.
Or like the parent wanted to teach you the lesson to never wear cologne. I'm going to get you the worst cologne on the market.
But Scooby-Doo 182 can call in and tell us if I'm wrong or not.
213 Wide Nut. We want more information, Scooby-Doo. Another comment from Scooby-Doo, by the way, in regards to the Metallica Clue game was the missing equipment bus brakes? Fantastic. Call it just so we can congratulate you.
That's harsh. You're never going to let them live that down, are you?
Down, I guess.
I love the condescending laughter sound effect.
That's better.
No, I prefer the other one. I genuinely.
I think it's
like a pity laugh.
Like
it kind of sounds like a pity laugh.
Like a smattering. It's kind of fun. It's like a New Yorker cartoon. Oh, I get it. Okay.
That works.
All right, let's move along. Well, we haven't checked in. Let's play this. Let's do our Sid you sent over.
Oh, yeah.
This PSA. Mm-hmm. Let me cue this up here. Don't really need much of an introduction, so let's just get into it. So I have to say, I don't know if it's like this in other cities, but I feel like the New York City Board of whatever, just the New York City Board of Health, thank you. They've gotten massive like ad deals with all the networks because I feel every ad break, when it gets the localized portion,
mm-hmm.
you will see one of these PSAs about COVID. And the PSAs could be anything from wearing a mask to there was a few weeks where It was all about getting your shots. Lately, it's been about getting boosters.
There was some African dude that was on every minute that was just telling people about how great vaccines are.
Mm-hmm.
And I want to say, this isn't just network television. Even on Hulu, every ad break had one of these. It was intense. And so, Sid, you found one you wanted to share
this
with
one's, yeah, this one's playing in New York on a loop. I see it multiple times a day, and my amazement and delight and the questions I have, it hasn't faded since the first time I've seen it. There's layers to this. It's so fantastic. So if you want to play it, we could go piece by piece.
Piece by piece.
It's just the setting. It's a bunch of like teens, like high school kids from the city, and it starts off in black and white, and they're all, you know, we'll hear what they're all talking about.
I don't really have time.
I heard they put a microchip inside of you, and then...
Already, it's amazing. And also, what is he eating?
Fries. He's standing up at the kitchen sink with a bowl of fries, like all of us do.
That's what that.
Also, he's laughing. He's like, he's saying this. Shouldn't this be delivered in like sort of a hushed tone? Like, I heard they put a microchip inside. Like, he's just whatever.
He's just like, you think I'm going to get this vaccine when they're putting microchips? You're crazy.
He's already
put a microchip inside.
Ridiculing it.
And then you become magnetic.
Ah! A single fry, no ketchup, no nothing, just one naked fry he takes a bite out.
I've had naked fries.
This is a man who's gotten to probably age 18, I would say, and has never encountered a French fry before, and was told by the director, eat a French fry. This is the result that you're seeing on the screen. Replay that, Rob.
You become put a microchip inside of you, and then you become magnetic.
He's completely alien to French fries.
I don't want to turn into a zombie.
Like, who knows this?
And he delivers it like he already has turned into a zombie. Come on, man, be a little bit more lively.
Yeah, look, he's like barely walking.
I don't want to turn into a zombie.
I'm young, so I guess I'll just keep wearing my mask.
Could you please pause? The girl says, I'm young, so I guess I'll just keep wearing a mask. Cut to her out with no mask. So
wait, if we can go back to this one. Like, the guy, like, also, I feel they're so concerned about being inclusive with this ad, because all of these spokespeople are people of color. I feel like most of the people who say this stuff are just white people.
No. This is a big thing. This is like a big inner city thing. I think that's why they're being so inclusive. I don't think it's inclusive per se. I think it's systematically targeting black and Latino people.
See. Okay, fair enough.
I don't want to turn into a zombie.
There's a whole corner of Twitter that is like black people that are super anti-vaccines.
But you know what I was thinking?
Oh. What? Now there's so the ad up until this point was all black and white.
Yes.
Once she slams her laptop and says, but you know what I was thinking? Suddenly we're in color and she's at the Metropolitan Museum of Art.
And now it looks like a B-Cat show.
I want to stay with my grandmother again.
And I want to join the baseball team this year.
Go back.
Join the New York Yankees.
Yeah, she's standing outside a Yankee stadium saying she wants to join the baseball team this year. What do you think this vaccine is going to do for you, ma'am? I don't think it's that good.
I wanted to join the New York Yankees, but not having a vaccine was holding me back.
That's the one thing that was so
secret. I heard the vaccine speeds up your pitch count.
I heard the vaccine
gives you a 95 mile an hour fastball.
They put the vaccine in my arm, and now I have one Hulk Hogan off.
It's like rookie of the year. Right, but next up is French Fry Guy.
Yeah. Now French Fry Guy has
a. I want to go to the movies in a theater and get a giant popcorn with butter.
I'm so excited for butter. Butter. French fries. Never had popcorn before.
With butter.
I wanted to have popcorn. I really did, but you know the vaccine. I couldn't get it without the vaccine. So why
butter?
I got a question. this is pre-vaccine. He's saying this. He wants to go to the movies. He wants to get vaccine with butter. But he's there holding it.
He wants to get vaccine with butter.
Oh, did I say that?
Yeah. That's,
sorry.
That was an option. That's the one I would have gone.
He wants to get the vaccine so he can get popcorn with butter. So this is his future hope. But he's in the movie theater with a thing full of butter. So what if when someone screwed up the timeline?
Yeah, it doesn't really.
Or am I seeing a dreamscape where he's imagining the future where he's holding popcorn with butter and
it's
vaccine?
It's his future self tantalizing him.
Oh, boy.
Like, see, you wouldn't have to have naked French fries. You could have popcorn with butter at a movie theater.
A Jim Jarmusch film.
Butter.
Maybe that's a direct.
I want to graduate with my friend.
I'm sorry to break it to you, sir, but if you think the vaccine turns you into a zombie, you're probably not graduating on time.
Yeah.
Graduate with my friend.
Also, can I just point something out here? This is from the New York City Board of Health, right? We've now moved into the future where these people have come to their senses, gotten vaccinated, and they're all out on the Brooklyn Bridge, clustered around 900 other people, and nobody's wearing a mask.
Correct.
Did anyone think to put masks on these people in addition to vaccinating? Or are they implying that when you take the vaccine, you no longer need to wear a mask anymore?
It does sort of feel like that's what's implied.
And take
but now my favorite.
To see Rome.
the plot twist. Everyone else with the most mundane request.
Hold on. I didn't hear it. Let's hear it again.
And take a plane to Italy to see Rome.
Let's get back to
all right. So let's recap. Hang out with Nana. Popcorn with butter. Rome. Okay, good.
Graduate with friends.
Yeah.
Rome.
Right. Forgot graduate with friends. So stuff everyone does all the time then go to Rome.
It's amazing. It's amazing.
But you know what you just told people there is that.
There's a good comment here. Sorry. It says fascinating. At no point do they debunk the rumors at the beginning of the commercial. But hey, I guess it's okay being a little magnetic to go to the movies and eat buttered popcorn.
That is a good point. That's also a little like, you know, totally leaving aside whether vaccines are good or bad, blah, blah, blah. It's not important to what I'm about to say. But the tone of the commercial is very coercive. I mean, it's like if you already don't believe in vaccines, this is not going to help.
Who is this convincing?
Because why can't you see your Nana? If you dig into that just a little bit, it's like, well, they're going to come out with fucking laws that mean you can't go see your motherfucking Nana. And you think they're going to go run out and get a vaccine now after that? It's a very coercive tone. Like, I want to graduate with my friend. Well, you can't, motherfucker, unless you go get a needle in your arm.
And also, like, she says that she wants to see Nana when she's standing outside the museum with no Nana anywhere in sight.
Right.
The fuck is she talking? Is she waiting?
Well, Nana
isn't
vaccinated.
Oh, no.
No, you know what it is? She was planning to go see Nana, and then she was like, fuck it. Whatever. She's going to be around. Don't worry. I'm going to go to the Met. That's what I really want to do.
Got to see this exhibit real quick.
Yeah. Nana will be there. She shits herself anyway. It's like, come on.
How much do you think the butter lobby paid to have that included, that moment of
butter
over the idea of butter?
Say that again. I said butter.
Robert.
You said the movie theater paid for it?
No,
for
the butter lobby.
The butter lobby.
Big butter. Which was my rap name in high school.
By the way, any of these people, I don't know if they know, they can easily get on a Greyhound for about $60 and go to a state where you can do all this shit without getting vaccinated.
It's fucking true.
This is just New York.
You can also make popcorn at home with butter.
Yeah.
It's not even New Jersey, by the way. There's like barely any restrictions in Jersey.
Is that true?
Yeah. There's no mask mandate in Jersey. There's no
North Jersey
county.
It's different by county. Like the certain counties have different. There's no state.
For example, any venue that you go to in New York, you have to show proof of vaccination. You do not have to do such mm-hmm. thing in New Jersey.
But that's a city thing, right? That's not a state.
That's a state thing.
Oh, is it
no,
a state thing?
State.
Okay.
Yep. But I feel like that's all for show anyway. Like, I've gone to shows. They check the vax thing. Like, half the people weren't checked.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it's just, you can't, like, how seriously can you enforce it when it's, like, these underpaid security that's trying to, like, for example, I went to the Mastodon show, Mastodon Opeth.
How do you know how much security guards are paid at these shows? Aren't these, like, union jobs?
Not enough.
No?
Not enough. I don't think so.
I don't think so. I don't know for sure, but that's
so there were 5,000 people that, you know, this venue holds, Hammerstein Ballroom. I get to the show during which the opening act is performing. The line stretches down 34th Street, up 9th Avenue, wraps around, goes down 35th. So it's almost a full avenue block because it takes so long to let everyone in. It was nuts. And
doesn't that mean that they are
checking? They were checking, but what's so crazy is when I got inside, people that came early said that they weren't checked. So they only started checking, like, you know, you never know.
You asked around?
Multiple people told me without me asking.
Like friends of yours or just like strangers?
Yeah,
like, hey, metal injection guy, we've got some breaking news
friends
for
of mine.
You.
Yeah, breaking news. They're not checking.
Well, your friends are all like industry insiders. They probably got in through a side door anyway.
No, nothing like that. And
Greg Gutfeld,
did
they check Greg Gutfeld?
Everyone has to be checked, even the artists.
You think Greg Gutfeld's vaccinated?
Yes. Everyone at Fox News has to be vaccinated.
Oh, they do?
To get in that building. Yep. Yeah.
To get into the Hammerstein Ballroom?
No, to get into the Fox building. Oh. They're not going to let you in unless you're vaccinated.
What a caddis trophy.
All right.
Rob, are you going to see the Foo Fighters at Citi Field?
Oh, your old pal.
Maybe. I don't know. I feel like I don't really like going to baseball stadiums to see concerts. You're just too far away from it.
But in general, I agree. But, you know, since he's your boy, you could get, like, probably close to the stage.
No, I can't.
Oh.
I was on the side of the stage when I saw the Foo Fighters.
Yeah.
Field.
You got some BBQ.
Yeah.
When they played their last time.
Just got to know the right people, Rob.
I know the person you knew that got you in there.
So maybe this time he could hook you up.
So you're not going to go either?
If my friend calls me and says he has a backstage pass for me, sure. Otherwise, unlikely. Once you've been to the penthouse, you can't go mess around with the
I hear you
anymore.
Long way down.
Yeah, I like it up here in this ivory tower.
It's the same. It's like going to wrestling shows. I've been very fortunate enough to have access to some very good seats, just through my metal connections. And when I don't have those connections, it's like, well, I'm not going to buy the nosebleeds. I'm going to splurge on lower bowl because I want to actually see the wrestlers. You know me.
Fill
you
up
know
that
me in bowl. Yeah.
He likes to sit
toilet
in that
bowl. Marijuana bowl. Any bowl. I'll take every
bowl.
Bowl
of spaghetti.
Yeah.
Bowl of French fries with no sauce anywhere in sight.
Yeah. What's so funny is, like, I will eat, like if I have scrambled eggs or an omelet with fries, I will put ketchup on my eggs and not my fries.
I've never done the ketchup on the eggs. Never good. Done it.
I have a new thing for French fries. I have the...
Or sriracha.
And yeah, eggs have to go with some kind of sauce, but I don't like... I'm not a big fan of using ketchup for that. But for fries, I now use Nando's Peronese sauce. I don't know if you ever tried that, but I can't.
What is that?
It's the Nando's is just the brand, but the Peronese... You ever hear of peri-peri sauce? It's like kind of like sriracha, a little different.
Okay.
But they mix it with mayonnaise, so that's the combo name is Peronese.
Oh, sriracha mayo?
It's not. It's better than sriracha mayo.
I thought it was Nando's. Am I wrong?
I mean, it comes from Fernando, so I guess I would say Nando would be the authentic way, but Nando can't be.
All of a sudden, Rob doesn't want to overpronounce Spanish words in a vaguely racist way. Pick a side, Rob. Be consistent.
I just texted Robert Trujillo, and he tells me he also says Nando.
Yeah, he's a gringo. He's from the U.S. I grew up in New York. It's like basically the second Puerto Rico.
Yeah.
It's an extension.
So you're saying you're more Latin than Robert Trujillo?
I'm saying I'm less American. No, I'm not. No, I just think it's a regional thing. I think like Latinos are really way more assimilated to like U.S. culture in California. And in New York, they sort of stay in enclaves where mm-hmm. their culture is preserved more from the places they came from.
I don't know. I feel like there's plenty of culture preservation in the West Coast.
I didn't say it's absolute. I'm just saying there's yeah. more of a trend that way versus here. There's clearly some Latinos here that assimilate too, but it's just I think the trend is the other way in each case. If you want to get serious about it, I was making a joke.
Rob doesn't like jokes.
Yeah, this is not that type of podcast.
You told us it is that type of podcast. Boy, you're full of contradictions today.
I guess you called out the Scooby-Doo comments. Mm-hmm. But he mentioned in the chat that some of us had Taste of 14 and listened to Slipknot. Slipknot came out, but I did listen to them when they first came out.
Oh, no, when I was like 18. Scooby-Doo.
I was 17, I guess.
Get it right, Rob. Get your story straight.
You're responding to comments in the chat while doing the show, Sydney?
No, I'm not.
You
My eyes are directly on you. What are you talking about?
You posted something in the Discord at 6:37 p.m. That's broadcast time.
Why you got to bring up old shit? I'm multitasking. I'm trying to be a man of the people here.
Yander in the chat. I'm just trying to pronounce things properly.
Oh.
He said this. He also had the Kiss cologne. But he was listening to black metal, goth, and dark wave at 14. So he's much cooler than the rest of us.
Dark wave. Isn't that a... Never mind.
Go make the joke.
Isn't that a DuckTales spinoff?
Dark wave duck?
Yeah, that's right. Because right. anytime... You tell someone you're into dark wave, they throw something at you, so you have to duck.
That's fucking hot on.
What's a dark wave band, Rob? You seem like you'd know what that is.
It's just like soft goth music.
Isn't goth music already soft?
It could. It's a type of. It's I don't know.
Who would be an artist? Fiona Apple. Look, Rob's trying to type without moving.
I want to give like the official definition of dark wave. Emerged from the new wave and post-punk movement of the late 1970s, compositions are largely based on minor key tonality and introspective lyrics that have been perceived as being dark, romantic, and bleak. Sisters of Mercy, The Cure. Is Cure dark wave? Sure. I guess it's hot. Dark new wave bands. Is that the thing? The Smiths? Like
Sisters of Mercy doesn't. I mean, that's like sort of alternative pop.
Yeah, but dark wave, I guess, sounds cooler. When you're in the mall, you want to seem more different.
Yeah.
Since you stand outside the Hot Topic, you don't want to say you're into alternative pop. You want to say you're into dark wave.
Sure.
Yeah.
Why not? Let them have it.
I'll let them have it. That's why they got a duck.
That's all right. I'm into it.
I like
you're
pop
into
and
the thing.
Pop.
You just had to like Google to see what the hell it meant. You're a big fan of it.
I'm a fan of Depeche Mode.
Today,
Bo
Rob
Hoss.
Learned that he's like
to know it's called Dark Wave.
Isn't it Bauhaus?
Bauhaus. Bauhaus.
Bauhaus.
Bauhaus.
Am I wrong?
No, it's Bauhaus. That's the only way I've ever heard it. Did you really think it was Bauhaus, Rob?
Maybe.
You said Bauhaus, actually.
Bauhaus? Yes. That's how I thought it was pronounced. Thank you. Yeah,
I can understand that. Like, when do you hear it?
Yeah, when do you hear it says? Yeah, I would only read it. Yeah. Yeah,
I defend. It's one defense, Rob. You just remember, you owe me.
Thank you. I owe you one. I'll get you back next time.
Okay.
Cold Cave, the band that I mentioned last week, I guess they are considered a collage of dark wave noise and synth pop. So there you go.
So many words.
Great. It's basically people who wear black leather that make pop music. That's how I would say. Big sad pop music.
So Rob Halford?
Okay, I guess that could fit, but no, he's not. All right, we're winding down this final Metal Injection Live Fest, as we are now RIP Alive. So let's talk about our music picks. Every week we do a little music break. We each pick a song, and we throw it in a Spotify playlist that we call the Metal Injection Livecast Music Break. I guess we'll have to rename that for next week. Yeah, so each one of us picks a song. I'll go first. I picked Milk Lizard by the Dillinger Escape Plan.
What a name. What a song.
It is a very,
is that
very
like,
fun song.
Does that mean penis?
Maybe.
My Milk Lizard? What else could it mean?
I'll see what it says on Genius. But this is maybe as close to a pop song as the Dillinger Escape Plan do, and it's phenomenal. It's so fun and catchy and heavy. And I went back and listened to Ironworks this week, and it's a lovely album that I highly recommend revisiting.
It's like my third favorite Dark Wave album.
They're not Dark Wave, but okay.
What? I can't like them anymore. Fuck that.
Darren, what did you pick?
I played some Celia Cruz. We needed some salsa. And this is like some late 70s Celia Cruz, which is the best Celia Cruz. So I was like, she's really hitting her stride there. And also it's a featuring Willie Colon, who's a very interesting guy. I don't know if you know about this, but he ran.
So much Colon talk this week.
Is he related to Carlos?
I don't think so, but he's kind of a dick. Like he ran for office here, and he's like a straight up, he's like a straight up neoliberal kind of guy. Like he opposed Hugo Chavez, and I don't want to get into the politics.
How long ago was this?
Gonna just totally guess in the 90s.
Okay.
But he's a really good artist. He's got like really whacked out politics. But I just love Celia Cruz. It's one of my favorite songs. So I won't hold the fact that Willie Colon is on the song against it. The song is called Usted Abuso. But you need some salsa in your life. You're not listening to salsa, you're missing out. Especially Celia Cruz. She's the queen.
So it's okay. It's not okay for me to say Trujillo, but it's okay for Darren to say salsa.
But that's
Darren
what it's called.
Darren said he's basically Puerto Rican.
I did not say that. Don't get me in trouble. I'm very much a white boy.
It's called salsa. And
you
it goes eat, great
you don't
with
even,
chips.
You could say salsa without doing the Spanish accent. You don't have to say salsa. That's going extra.
Salsa.
And honestly, when Darren does it, it sounds like he's trying to be extra respectful. When you do it, it sounds like patronizing.
Yes.
Oh, that's not my intention.
I'm just saying the word the way it says.
I'm saying so am I.
It's in the ballpark.
All right.
Sometimes with some words, it sounds better than others when you do it, I would say.
Okay.
When you do Trujillo, it just sounds weird.
Sounds personal.
Trujillo.
It's wrong. No.
Trujillo.
Yeah.
All right.
When you do another word, I'll point it out when it sounds good. So you
okay.
Now he's going to try to say everything like that.
Flauta.
Flauta? That's all right. Yeah, sure.
All right, I'll take it. I want to mention, though, like you mentioned salsa. During Latin Heritage Month, there's a jazz station on Sirius XM, and they were playing modern Latin jazz, and it is my new favorite genre of music because it has all the like fun and energy of salsa. I'm so conscious of how I say it, but also with jazz. So Sid won't like it, but it's really, really fun.
I've heard Latin jazz, and it's not like what you think of when you hear jazz. You know, like when I hear jazz,
right,
my brain immediately. But this is sounds more like salsa.
Yeah, it's very upbeat, and like you can dance to it. It kind of It's like, it kind of reminds me of, you know, Gloria Estefan, but less poppy.
It's way more to the salsa side than the jazz side.
Yeah, yeah, exactly. It was just like, when I heard it, I'm like, this is way more fun than anything they play on this channel ever. And they're like, oh, it's because it's the Latin jazz. So something to consider. Sid, what did you pick?
First, I'd like to say that this week RIP stands for racially irresponsible pronunciations.
RIPP.
Racially insensitive Pasbani.
I picked, like every other basic bitch in America with a Disney Plus account, I watched the Beatles Get Back documentary this weekend. So I was like 8+ hours of just Beatles songs over and over, and like the same four of them repeated over and over and over again. And one of the ones that they didn't play as much in the documentary, they played it once or twice, was my favorite Beatles song, She Came In Through the Bathroom Window. So that's the one I picked. I did not pick Get Back because I feel like after watching that documentary, that is now probably the song I've heard the most times in my life of any song, just because Paul McCartney is constantly working on that song during the documentary. So you hear like multiple versions of it over and over and over and over again across all three episodes. And it's a great song. I feel like I like it more now than I did before. Yeah, I've got a new appreciation for it, but yeah, I've also probably heard it enough now for the rest of my life.
I just wanted to say also, I watched that documentary and I was so inspired by it that I'm working on an original album of songs, original songs that are inspired by
based
that
on the documentary.
Yes. it's going to be called Meet the Beatles.
But maybe,
I'm not sure. I may go with, I have another idea. You can run it by it. So Sgt. Pepper's Lonely Hearts Club Band. What do you guys think?
I wish
the documentary they would have like pull out like here's all the funny moments. Like I've only watched about an hour of it so far. It's a lot of footage.
Yeah, no, but if you're not a Beatles super fan, you will be bored out of your fucking mind.
I can't say I'm bored, but there's a lot of downtime. But then it does hit a moment where I'm like, wow, this is super interesting, or there's just like really funny banter between them. They're all so funny, except for Ringo. He doesn't say anything.
Ringo's the best. He's so fucking chill. He's just like, he goes with the flow.
He's
everybody
going with
else,
the flow.
They're like arguing and they want their way. And Ringo's just like,
they care.
I'm here for a good time. I will spoil this for you, Rob, because it is so delightful. I can't remember if it was in episode 2 or episode 3, but there's a moment where they're having like this very serious discussion. It's like Paul McCartney, Ringo, and like one of their managers or producers, and they're having this very serious discussion. All of a sudden, Ringo interrupts. And he's just like, I just want you to know that I have just farted. I thought about not saying anything and just looking you in the face, but I think it's better to let you know. He just announces, like mid Paul McCartney rant, he just announces, wow, sorry, Paul, I just farted.
There's some very great comic moments like that, even in the first episode.
Yeah.
That's how they stayed together for so long and just had Ringo to diffuse all their hatred of each other.
Seriously.
With farts.
It is. I always thought that the tension was only between John and Paul, but George is just he speaks up.
He definitely mellowed out over the years. He was, he was that guy at the end, but
you can understand he had some great songs, but he was always treated by the other two guys like an afterthought.
Yeah, he's Kirk
like
Hammett
brother
of the Beatles.
Mm-hmm. That's very comparison.
I mean, in the first episode, he quits the band, and then they have to, like, convince him to come back.
He's the Kirk Hammett. He could have been the Ron McGovney if they didn't convince him to come back. So I've been watching a couple of things. I don't know if you've seen them. Have you seen Yellow Jackets?
I have not yet.
I've heard things.
Yes. So good.
What's the basic concept of the
It's 1992, I think. It's the early to mid-90s, and there's a girls' high school soccer team. They're really good. They're going to the Nationals. They get on the plane to go to the Nationals, and the plane crashes in the mountains. So it's like devolves into like Lord of the Flies, and there's like weird cult stuff happening. This is all right in the beginning. I'm not spoiling anything. You see snatches of their like not that
in the locker room.
You see like little snippets of what's going on during the, it cuts between their, you know, teenage high school life before this plane crash, in the mountain when they're all going crazy, and then today you see them as 40-year-old women. So it's like, and there's some secret or some weird shit we don't know about, and like a lot of intrigue there. But it's like all three of those time periods keep jumping back and forth. But it's so fucking good, and there's so many good actresses in it. There's Juliette Lewis is in it.
Oh.
And Christina Ricci is in it.
Melanie Lynskey, oh, wow. Right? She's really good.
Yeah, it's just a great cast. The kids are all really good, too. It's just fantastic. Everyone should see that. The other one is Hellbound. I don't know if either of you seen Hellbound.
Nope.
Highly recommend this. It's because I guess it's on the heels of a Squid Game. It's another Korean film series. And
have you guys seen Squid Game? Is that worth watching?
Yeah.
Oh, you didn't watch? I thought we talked about Squid Game together.
So did I. Yeah, it's definitely worth watching.
Oh yeah, okay. It's really good. It's got a couple of things I would have like gripes with it, but they're very nitpicky.
Yeah.
You know, it's just really engaging and really like emotional.
Did you watch with the subtitles or the overdubs?
Oh, always subtitles if it's an option for me.
I did the first episode with overdubs, and then we were like, no, let's do
you're not a fan of subtitles? Yeah.
No, I wanted to try it. I never think to switch to the overdub track. And with this one, I think that was the default track.
Oh.
So we're like, oh, let's give it a shot. After one episode, we're like, no, we should just do subtitles.
I thought it came on subtitles automatically for me. Maybe I don't remember right or something. But
the person whose Disney account I have automatically has subtitles on. And it's been an interesting way to watch shows, just with the subtitles on always. But people like to see what's being said.
Oh, I do that sometimes when, like, I want to make sure I heard what somebody said. If they're talking fast, I would think a lot.
Yeah. I've done it for Succession because sometimes they talk so fast and so inside, you're just like, what, what? And I put it on for a minute. But it's very distracting if I have it on the whole show or episode, unless it's a foreign film, you know.
I'm just very good at reading it so quickly because I watch, you know, over the course of my life, I feel like I've developed a skill to, like, be able to just glance at it and I know what it fucking says and then I can look at their faces or whatever. But Hellbound is about these people around the world start getting these decrees from angels, like an angel's face just pops out of their wall or something. And he says, you are going to die. Oh, no, you're going to you're going to be sent to hell on such and such a date in like 5 days, or it varies. One guy's 20 years, one guy's 30 seconds. And then, like, on the exact time when the second hand goes to that minute, these three gigantic gargoyles come out of an alternate dimension and just beat the shit out of you, bloody, throw you against walls, and then they suck your soul out like Shang Tsung, right? So then it becomes realism. Like, they go, what would happen if that happened in our world? Like, and you see all this crazy. It's like social commentary. It sounds like an action movie, but it's, like, really deep social commentary, like the religious group comes and claims that this is people being punished for being sinners. And so they start getting momentum. Everyone starts believing in God now. And like, they're all afraid. They're all like ratting each other out for being sinners. And, you know, what's the social angle of this? But the special effects are really great. The acting is really great. It's really gory and disgusting. And it's really stuff that I can't believe would, you know, is in a show. Like, there's some choices they made in this show that I'm like, I just can't believe that just happened. So I highly recommend that. And that's only 6 episodes.
Okay.
If you want a quick thing to binge.
I've been catching up on Insecure on HBO. I really, really enjoy it. It's unlike any other show, I feel. I would say it's like if Sex and the City met Atlanta.
Why? Because it's black people. It's not like Atlanta in any other way, other than it's just black people.
I think it dips into surreality a little bit.
I guess it's very surface. I'd say it's more just like Girls, but less annoying. Place in L.A. instead of New York.
Yeah. Okay. Sure.
It's
I don't
great,
know anything
though.
About Girls except that it's annoying. So I can't. What is Girls without just a blank?
But I like that show too. But I just feel like this show.
This
doesn't
show's
have
not
the things
annoying.
That people would complain about Girls.
Yeah, it's very, very charming. It's very funny. Like, a lot of the comedic scenarios is stuff that I have not seen on any other show. And, like, I usually do not laugh if I'm watching something by myself. Like, I will not verbally, like, laugh out loud. But I have laughed out loud plenty of times watching this, just out of sheer shock of what the fuck is going on. And it's very poignant, too. It's like very nice modern love stories as well.
And also How to with Jenna Wilson is back. We've talked about it on the
show.
Oh,
yes. You got to watch it.
It's fucking incredible and great. And I watched the first episode of the new season, and it's just as good as season one. So excited for that to be back. Just street footage from New York City with like narrative woven in and like some man on the street interview type stuff. It just, there's nothing else like it on TV. It's fantastic. Can't recommend it highly enough.
Did either of you see Cowboy Bebop?
No.
Care about it?
Did you like
the
it?
Old one? I didn't watch
never
the
seen
new
it.
One.
I never got into the old one, but I've heard good things about the new one if you haven't watched the old one.
No, I'm hesitant because I was a big fan of the old one, and like I just can't.
Oh.
I can't see how this is not a major fail, but I should watch it with an open mind, I guess.
We have a caller. 313, you're on the Metal Injection livecast.
Hello?
313, are you there with us?
Oh,
yeah,
hold on. Do you hear me?
My fault.
313, now we can hear you.
Eminem.
Oh, hello. hi, this is Scooby-Doo 182.
Hey! Yes! Hello, Scooby-Doo 182.
Faithful Patreon. Howdy. So I guess I have to clarify the cologne for you guys.
Oh, yeah.
I think it would have been like 2006, and I didn't even listen to Kiss.
So was I right, or was that your parents liked Kiss and gave you this thing that they liked?
To be honest, I'm not really sure. Like, my mom kind of liked Kiss, but, like, the band I was into was Metallica, and she liked Metallica, too. So I don't know why I didn't get Metallica things, but, you know, sometimes it'd be like that, I guess.
That was the birth of the Metallica store. They were like...
Oop. My phone going? Ah!